I am and who I belong to. And I'm glad to be reminded about the fact that God's living in me and he's got a plan and a purpose. Amen. Well, let's give a big God bless you and welcome Brother Dwayne and Faith going to come.
Everybody knows the Holy Spirit is a teacher, right? And the Holy Spirit's in charge, right? Here, for sure. Well, tonight, Brother Dwayne's going to bring everything. We prepared together, but this is the way it went. So we're going to obey him. That's what I'm telling you. Amen.
You want to obey him. I don't need that.
Yeah, I meant him.
Yeah.
I obey you too, Amen. Master. But
call me.
Oh, yeah.
Testing. Oh, there we go. It was a trick. Bless God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I'm enjoying this hopefully as much as y'all. The freedom that I feel here under Pastor Norris is just so great. I'm just so encouraged, I just want to tell you all the time how excited I am. I truly believe, you know, it's one thing to know that we're called of God, but this is my hometown, and I know he's called to be here. This is so refreshing to me, I mean, in all my years here, in ministry here. I'm just so excited, and I can't build them up enough for you all and anybody else that would come here. But God is doing great and wonderful things.
Thank you.
I'm going to open up with a little bit of prayer. Now, remember, over the years in ministry, I've learned to walk in the logos of the word, you know, the law and the written word. And I've done all the duties and the yesers, and I've done all the programs and stuff like that. And I've missed a lot of the spirit. And I don't want to say I'm into that now because like if that's a fad, but I'm into that now because it's, I think, the way God wants it to go. And we really have to make a conscious effort to unzip that veil. He rent that veil when he went on Calvary, that we no longer have to go in and do programs, but we can go into a personal relationship and be with our Lord Jesus. Amen. And we really need to learn. I mean, sometimes physically have to say, okay, I'm going to come out of this world and I'm going to step into the real world of the things of the Spirit. And I think sometimes we should practice this before we even have church, because we come in with so much of the world on us. You know, that's why Jesus says, you know, we don't need to wash your whole body anymore. Just need to wash your feet. Why? Because the world and its junk gets on us and we forget who we are.
Come on, brother.
Yes. Yes.
So when we hear the evil report, it goes in and we take it in, and then it isn't until later on we realize, wait a minute, I should have never took that in.
Come on.
But while it's in there, it does do some damage, and we have to clean that back up.
Come on.
Okay? So, I mean, we need to practice this all the time. I'm born of the Spirit. I have the living God in me. I'm going to hear from heaven tonight. I'm going to walk out of here more charged up and supernatural than I've ever walked before. I don't care how many years in the Lord you've been in. Tonight's your night. Amen? Praise God. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you. Holy Spirit, this is your church. These are your people. I pray for a download from heaven, a download, Father, from the throne room into our hearts. Father, even though we hear some things with our natural ears, we'll pick things up in the Spirit, and they'll just be active in our life as we walk them out, God, because of your great love towards us. I am, Father, I just pray an impartation tonight. Father, where we're weak, we'll then be strong. Where we're poor, we're going to be rich, God. Where we're sick, we're going to be healed, oh God. Marriages back together. Jobs, promotions, Father, raises, benefits, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Growth for this church in Jesus' name. I pray for that DNA of evangelistic culture just to be imparted, that every one of us live in an evangelistic life, oh God, and we reach the lost for the kingdom of God. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, bless God. We hope we left you last week. Oh, I know what I want to do right off the bat. I want to wet your whistle here. Huh? This is your diploma. It'll be a little shorter than this. I'm going to have copies made, but I want you to see it, and I want you to know what it is for those that attended three or more, endured three or more. It says, yes, as a matter of fact, I am a wide-eyed, sanctified, blood-bought, spirit-taught, Bible-toting, scripture-quoting, Satan-bashing, sin-trashing, Christ-following, pride-swallowing, hard-praying, truth-conveying, faith-walking, gospel-talking, bona-fide, big-time believer, and proud of it.
Hallelujah!
Boy, what kind of diploma? You want that diploma there, buddy? That's what we are right there. I got this hanging up in my office. I read that every morning. Now you know why I am the way I am. That's who I am, bona fide, big time believer. Praise God, bona fide. Amen. What must we do the works of God? Believe on the one he sent? That's it. Praise God, I'm bona fide.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, hopefully last week we left you with two major thoughts. We don't want the jack-in-the-box church with the same old, and the desire to see and enter and be participants in kingdom activity.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, I can stand up here, again, this is where I want to get this across to you. I can stand up here and preach it till I'm blue in the face. And another thing I realize some of the things I'm preaching, pastor's probably taught on since he's been here. And we know as pastors or in teachers sometimes, we can say it one way and we wonder why they didn't get it. And all of a sudden, one of our parishioners will come up to us and say, guess what brother so-and-so taught? Yep. I think, I've been teaching that for years. How come you got it when he said it? Okay, so I know he's saying, well, I've preached these things, but you know what? Tonight be the night it might click in.
Yeah,
and the thing of it is this is where you have to say, I'm going to change tonight.
Come on.
I'm going to walk out of here. I mean, if I can ask them embarrassing questions. When was the last time you really led somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ?
Come on.
When was the last time you really said, pray with me, repeat this prayer after me, in where you live, to anybody? Literally, one-on-one, led someone to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on. Come on.
I'm even embarrassed for me.
Come on.
As exuberant as I am and the way I am, because this is the way I am all the time. I don't change. This is the way I am on the job. I have guys, contractors, pay me to preach sometimes. They'll pay me for hours to sit there and talk, get the whole crew in one accord. Really. For big money, I get paid for preaching when I'm out trying the job. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you have to say, tonight's my night. I change. This is where it changes for me. This is the first day. See, I have these little things that I think about, little statements. This is the first day of the rest of your life.
That's right.
Yes. You can't do nothing about this morning.
Yes.
You can't do nothing about yesterday. Yep. And if you let yesterday beat you up, you won't be any good tonight or tomorrow.
Come on, brother. Tell it.
A.W. Tozer says, look now forward and let be backward.
Yeah, good advice.
Look now forward and let be backward. I fail daily, but one thing is I don't take it to bed with me. When I get up in the morning, it's gone.
Come on.
That's right,
it's gone. That was yesterday. I can't do nothing about that. I got today to make a difference.
Yes. Yes.
Come on now. These are biblical truths that you need to apply to your life. I don't care what situation you're in. I don't care if you're broke or if you're one of the ones that
Madoff
took all your money.
Madoff.
You can't do nothing about it, okay, and worry about it where it's going to add to your life.
Come on.
But you can do something about tomorrow. You can go out and get a job, or you can go out and encourage somebody, or you can win somebody to the Lord. Let me tell you.
This is
kingdom. Look now forward, let be backwards. And this is kingdom thinking.
This is.
See, this is what I'm trying to get across. This is kingdom thinking. We don't live according to the world.
Come on.
Do you know when you drive down the street, everything you read, see, and hear on the radio is all in the world and its system that's out to train you?
Come on.
Now, I did this with the men when I preached to the men. I'm going to do it to you all. So if you men remember this, don't blurt out the answer. Everybody spell top.
T-O-P.
Out loud. Ready? Everybody spell top.
T-O-P.
Everybody spell cop.
C-O-P.
Everybody spell pop.
P-O-P.
What do you do when you come to a green light?
Stop.
No, you don't. You go on a green light.
That's how I conditioned you, though.
I conditioned you to say the wrong thing, but I didn't tell you a lie. And I didn't try to fool you. I just knew how to condition you so you get rear-ended and ruin your life. And this is what the devil's doing to you every day.
Tell it.
And the only way you can tell the difference is if you get into the Word of God and you stay in a relationship with Him where the Holy Spirit is leading you. And let me tell you, you'll go on every green light and you'll stop on every red light. And you won't live in the backwash of bad decisions the rest of your life. You'll be right out on the cutting edge, the forefront of what God's doing in the Spirit in the world today.
Yes.
It's good. This is good, but I'm telling you, but you better be in the Word.
Come on. Come on.
And I mean, I tell people, even if I don't be in what I'm preaching tonight, be in the Word. Because what I'm preaching to you tonight, it's going to have some flaws. It's going to have some personal things in it. But I'll tell you what, if you're in the Word, you're going to be able to pick out the truth of what I'm telling you and run with that. And that's what I want. I want the Holy Spirit and you to run.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
This is not an exhaustive study on the kingdom. And there are some things about the kingdom, but there are some things about the kingdom that we need to understand. I'm going to read some kingdom scriptures. And they probably won't make a lot of sense, but they'll get me started, and then we'll go from there. That's all I need, right?
Hallelujah.
We're going to try to open our eyes up to some spiritual concepts, which could open us up to some supernatural activities in our everyday living.
Yes.
And I want to drive home in your hearts that everyone that's born again has a ministry and an obligation to win the lost.
Yes. Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll just start off with some scriptures here so we know some things about the kingdom. Next week, we're going to teach mainly on the how. But we're going to get into the kingdom, and there's a couple of things the Lord has put in my spirit to show you and to teach you. I even have my own object lesson for those that like visual aids. So, simply, number one, the kingdom is not of this world in John 18:36. The kingdom is not of this world. If you're involved in the things in this world and you get caught up in things in this world, chances are the kingdom's not in it. So we really have to make a conscious effort to see the kingdom. Well, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. The kingdom is not eating and drinking. Okay. Come on, that's right. What do? They get married. They married and drank and party just as if nothing's going to happen. Right? They go on. It's not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17.
Yes.
Should be take notes. Write them scriptures down. Look them up later. Read them. Meditate on them. Another thing we don't do a lot is meditate.
Yeah.
You know, because we put that connotation of meditation with. And we don't think, I'm talking about just take a scripture or even a word sometimes, you know, just meditate on that. And let me tell you what, Holy Ghost come down on you and he'll start showing you things about a word and why he used it. It'll set you free.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I was going to preach one time and I was in the pastor's office. In the church I was at, and I was walking around the office and praying in the Holy Ghost, and just, oh God, I just needed Him to touch me that night. And I found myself in front of a timeline thing with all the names, and I was just kind of reading it and thinking about my sermon. I was reading the names going on, and all of a sudden it hit me. I saw the name Rahab, and it hit me. Rahab was a harlot, but she was in the line of Jesus. I started to get encouraged how much hope there is for me and what God could do through me, man. Let me tell you what. And just that, just start meditating on some things and watch what God does. Okay. Let's turn to Mark 12:34. Oh, man, I'm way ahead of this game. Okay. I like to be obedient to the time and... Someone said I preached too long last week, so I figured I'd preach long this week, and we'll just skip next week, and you just stay home, I guess. I don't know. Praise God. 12:34. Actually, that's the scripture. It says you're not far from the kingdom, Jesus said. But watch. Here's what I want to read, the whole little situation there. It starts off that the... that Jesus was talking with the Pharisees, and he was talking with them about something, and a scribe was watching. And he realized that what Jesus was teaching the Pharisees, he liked it. It was about the resurrection. And he liked what he was teaching them. And he really realized that Jesus was teaching them, these guys, some good things. So he decides to ask Jesus a question. And one of the scribes came, verse 28, actually. Then one of the scribes came, and having he heard, he's reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, Jesus will always answer you well, he asked him, which is the first commandment? And Jesus tells him, first of all, the commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all your heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength and to love one neighbor as oneself is more than... Okay, he stops right there. Now, I want you to realize, I believe this scribe really understood this. He really understood that God is one God and you need to love Him with everything that you got. And I believe this scribe, even though he was a scribe and we have a bad connotation about the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes, this scribe was in pursuit of a real relationship with the one true God. Because he says to Jesus, not knowing He's the Savior yet and the Lord, man, you're teaching well. I really like what you're saying. This is true. And then he adds something to this whole teaching that Jesus taught him, right? He says, to love him with all your strength and to love one neighbor as oneself is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Jesus didn't teach that. He added that. What he realized is, I've been through all the programs. I've been through all the burnt sacrifices. I've been through all these whole calf things and all this stuff, and it means nothing if I don't love the Lord God with everything I got. I do that because I love Him. I don't do that to love Him.
Come on.
Okay? You see what he did here? And he says to him, now watch this. Jesus says, now when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Now, I like what pastor's doing here in this church. We're going to have programs because programs, you do need to have a program. You need to have a children's program. But he wants people who are gifted, anointed, called, gifted, and anointed to head up a ministry that they're led to do. That he doesn't have to work and beat them and keep them going and make them sacrifice to get it going and to keep it running like spinning plates. Remember the guy on Ed Sullivan's show? He'd spin the plate like here and he'd run over and he'd spin this plate and then that plate would fall and he'd have to pick it up and spin it again. We don't want to do that. We want it to run on its own because it's been from a calling and a gifting and anointing.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, right.
And this is what this guy says. I've been to all them sacrifices. And let me tell you, when you start doing it like that way, the kingdom of God is not far off. This is kingdom mentality, kingdom thinking. See, we got to start asking ourselves, when I look at something, am I looking at it through through kingdom eyes or through even church program eyes, what I'll call church eyes. Now, we are the church, but we have this mentality about the church that when we go there, they better have a children's program. They better have this. They better be able to meet my needs. They better. There's another church down the road that's got all those programs, and you can fit right in there real neat. Here, we want you to have an up-to-date relationship with Jesus Christ where you're so alive and vibrant that you'll run anything.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Praise God. Okay. Hebrews 12:28. And he prayed just when he was praying. It's a kingdom that can't be shaken. Come on. There's a lot of shaking going on today. We're shaking you and your finances and your living, where you live. We're shaking. There's a lot of. As a matter of fact, I haven't checked up on it, but somebody said there's a prophecy by David Wilkerson or something about fires, a bunch of fires that are supposed to take place. I mean, you know, don't be careful. Don't walk in fear. My God can put any fire out. But, there's a lot of shaking going on here, but the kingdom of God will not be shaken. I mean, here's what happens. If we develop a program that draws a certain crowd in, when that program goes away, the crowd will go away with it.
Right.
Because they came in because of the program, not because of the Holy Spirit drawing them to worship.
We want the cloud, not the crowd.
Right. There you go. See, I love this guy. He's got these things. I'm going to learn them all. I'm going to be an Alabamian before I leave here. We want the cloud, not the crowd. That's what he said. Okay. Does that make sense? See, this is where I am in my witnessing with the people. If I bring them in a watered-down gospel, they'll live a watered-down gospel. If we don't raise the bar and the standard of our commitment and our leadership and the things here, then when we bring them in, you know that people will live up to 80% of what you do?
Yeah.
If you live the gospel at 60%, they're only going to live it to 80% of that.
Come on.
Okay?
True, brother.
And what you do in moderation, those under you will do in excess.
Come on.
Now, these are biblical truths. That's why, you know what? I may not make that standard, but I'll never quit preaching that standard. That standard, I'll preach that standard for me, and then I'll try to attain it. When I stand up here and preach, it's not because I'm attaining it all the time. I'm striving for it. Believe me, I'm more hard on me than I'll ever be on you. Ask her. My kids say, "But Dad, you're not giving them all what you gave us." Yeah, you're right, kids. I'll beat you. Okay. I used to spank my kids for fun. No, I didn't. For practice. I told my oldest, "I'm practicing on you, so when the rest of them come, I'll know just what to do." It's an everlasting kingdom. 2 Peter 1:11. Let's turn there. An everlasting kingdom. I got some things I found today that I just think are remarkable. I can't wait to share them with you. I got to keep going here. What did I tell you to go? I told you to go 2 Peter 1:11. "For an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into an everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." For an entrance will be supplied to you. Now remember, I told you last week about John 3:3 and John 3:5. You must be born again to see the kingdom, and you must be born of water and spirit to enter the kingdom. But not once do those two scriptures says you're in the kingdom yet. It just says how to get in there. The prerequisite to be born again. Okay? Now he's telling us, an entrance will be supplied. An abundant entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Savior. Now, if you go back here, it says, it is implied here. It is implied here that if we grow and abound in moral graces mentioned in verses 5 through 8, an abundant entrance will be supplied to us to enter the everlasting kingdom. Okay, let's go back to verses 5 through 8. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, for an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into an everlasting kingdom of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ." Let me note here that it's not a works mentality for salvation. It's not a works mentality, because we can get into a works, and I'm going to work up holiness and I'm going to do these things and then I deserve an entrance into the kingdom. No. This comes out of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ where you want these graces. He kind of just says, you know what, it's just time to clean up your act a little bit. It's time to just lay that down. I remember when I first got saved, it took 3.5 years for me to quit smoking. But everybody let me know it for 3.5 years that I was going to hell for smoking. I'm telling you, every church I went to, you could smell it on me. You're smoking, you're going to hell. You got to quit that. The temple, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're going to hell. And then I would try to lay them cigarettes down and like that, and because I didn't want to go to hell. I mean, you know, I believe those leaders above me, right? So I'd lay them down and I'd pick them back up and smoke. I mean, I was bad. It was like heroin. I've crushed them and thrown them out the window on 95, and an hour later back there on the median parked, walking through the weeds trying to find my cigarettes because I didn't have enough money to buy another pack. I've wet them, crushed them, and thrown them in a dumpster, and an hour later found myself in the dumpster pulling them out and putting them on the edge to dry out so I could smoke them. And they told me, well, if you ain't going to hell, you'll smell like you've been there. More condemnation. And finally, I just said, you know, here's how I quit smoking. I told the Lord, I said, he says, look, I got some other areas in your life. This smoking is just an outward manifestation of some inner issues that you need to deal with. And if you'll work with me and not them, I'll get you cleaned up. He took care of some inner issues. Next thing I know, the desire to quit smoking. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready now. I'm going to quit. I said, I'll tell you what, Lord. I says, I will do my best not to smoke this cigarette. And the next one, you take the urge away. And then I'll take the next one. And then you take the next one. You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? Deal. I said, okay. So I got up that morning. I said, okay, here's this urge. I'm going to not smoke. And I found myself busy. And the next thing you know, the urge went away. Then next thing I know, you know, the habit where you have a cup of coffee or something, the urge comes back. And for those who have smoked, and it's like, okay, Lord, this is yours. And he goes, no. This one's yours. And I said, no, Lord, this one's yours because I took care of the last one. He goes, no, this is yours. And I said, but Lord, I took care of the first one. And he goes, and I took care of the second one. As a matter of fact, I took care of it so well, you didn't even know you had it. And I said, well, that means every urge I get is mine because you've taken the one in between. He goes, that's right.
Oh, he's true.
Hey, he was good. I mean, if he's going to take care of something, he's going to take care of it real good, right?
Yeah.
I believed him. Praise God.
Wow.
It worked, praise God. I quit. It's not a works mentality, okay? Here's what I want to get across. A church saint and a kingdom saint, okay? A church saint, because if you're born again, you're born again. You're going to heaven. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you know, there are a lot of people going to heaven and they'll live in this world and never experiencing the promises. Never experiencing the benefits.
That's right.
Okay? Do you understand that?
Yeah.
And it's because they're on a list of do's and don'ts. They don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not living a victorious life. They're the ones that owe me. But they're going to heaven. Sometimes you don't think they are. Sometimes you say, well, you need to be born again. You know, what happened to you? Well, they're born again. They're going to heaven. They're just not learning the concepts of the kingdom and living in the kingdom and what God wants to teach about the kingdom of God. Because really, think about the scriptures. You must be born again to see the kingdom. He didn't say you must be born again to start a church program or to get involved in a beginner's class or like that. He wants you to immediately start to look into the kingdom. He wants you to see it for what it is. Why? Because he's the king and he lives there. And then he says he wants you to enter it. Why? Because he wants you to have a relationship with you. And from there, he'll lead you. This is why the Bible says I have no need of a teacher if the Holy Spirit's teaching you. But guess what? We have a counterbalance here. We know if the Holy Spirit's teaching you because we have the word to back it up.
A
lot of people come up with a lot of crazy stuff and say, I don't need you. The Holy Spirit's teaching me. And we find out they're getting divorced or they're having an affair or they don't think that the woman they married the first time was the one they should because they were unbelievers when they married. They come up with all kinds of theologies, okay, because they don't have accountability, okay? This is why we need to be in the Word to make sure that what I'm teaching you is right. Amen? Praise God. Iron sharpens iron. So we have church saints and kingdom saints. And the prerequisite for the kingdom is just to be born again. It's like this. You know, he called them all out of Egypt. But only so many went into the promised land.
Come on, brother.
He tried to get the world. No, the known world. Egypt is, when you think of Egypt, think of the known world.
Yeah.
Okay? He's called us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dearly loved son. Okay? And what we want to do is we still have this urge to want to be part of the world.
Come on.
It's pulling on us all the time. And we think, well, you know what? I deserve to have a good time. But really, you've only been trained to have a good time in the world.
Come
So when you think of a good time, you think of a worldly good time and not a Holy Ghost good time. Let me tell you what, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, he can fill you up with so much joy, you don't have to go nowhere, you don't have to take nothing, you don't have to be nothing, you don't have to dress a certain way, you're just filled with the joy and the Spirit of God. And let me tell you, 2 seconds of that will be like you spent 4 hours drinking.
Come on.
That's why they call it drunk in the Spirit. Let me tell you what, it is good.
Yes, sir.
Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Be drunk on the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Now, if the whole idea of some of this is if you're not experiencing some of these things, I'm hoping to whet your appetite. Like, because when I read these things, when I hear sermons, and it's like, well, boy, Pastor taught that, man. I haven't experienced that. Man, what is that? I go home and say, Lord, I want some of that. Yes. Do whatever you got to do to, I give you permission to move into my life and invade me.
Yes. Come on.
I give you permission. I say this to the Holy Spirit all the time. I give you permission to change me today.
Yes. Thank Come you, on. Lord.
Because men don't, we don't like change. And I, believe me, you think the Holy Ghost is, he's a gentleman. He's not going to come in and invade and make you do anything. But boy, you tell him you want him to do something,
look out.
You invite him in, he'll change you. And it'll be good. You'll love every minute of it.
Hallelujah.
One Sunday, pastor was preaching. I said, man, that hurt good. It hurt. But it hurt good. It was for my good, and I'm going to feel the benefit of it. I mean, I let me tell you, it's good stuff. If you haven't heard him preach, you need to come and hear him preach. So he called them all out of Egypt, but not all of them went into the promised land. Okay. Now this is where the Holy Spirit dropped something into my spirit. And it's like I want to teach you some, show you some scriptural things that, and again, it's not exhaustive because it's like I could take you in every area of your life and say, you know, okay, let's look at a real spiritual concept of this. So I want to whet your appetite with some of them. And that's what this thing here is about. Let's turn to Matthew 8. Five through 13. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed and dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I also, listen to this, for I also am a man under authority. Somehow, when he met Jesus, he knew that Jesus was a man under authority. He looked at the way he did his ministry. He looked at the way he walked. He looked at the way he dressed. He looked at the way he acted. He looked at the way he talked. He watched him. And he said, I also am a man under authority. Now, right away, Jesus says, okay, this man knows that I only do what my Father says to do. And I only say what I hear my Father say.
Yeah.
You understand that? I mean, just, you got to see how you read this. This is what's going on here. And he says to him, he says, I am a man in authority having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now, he's talking about a servant, but he says to Jesus, I have a servant that's home, sick, and being tormented. So right away, it's like, okay, this guy is a favor of his because he must be an obedient, good servant because he's here asking about him. And he's just said, I have servants to do what I say. This must be one of them. And his heart for him is to be healed. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay. We're all on the same page here. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and he said, come to do this. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but to the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ooh. And then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Okay. Okay, this is my little contraption here, my visual aid, tennis ball, tubes. This is whoever, this is you, and this is whatever or whoever. This is an idea from God, or this is a healing, or this is a blessing or a promise, okay? And God downloads it to whoever, okay? And the idea is he downloads it to this guy, and it goes all the way down through you, and then after you, it goes to whoever, your children, someone who works under you, a servant that needs healing, okay? Now, what happens is when we don't line up, when we're not in unity, if we're out of kilter, and even though God drops something down to the pastor's heart to teach us on Sunday, that's as far as it goes. And everybody under you don't get blessed. This could be your children. Pastor could be teaching something great. But you're in discord. You're out of unity with what's going on. And guess what happens? It don't even go down to your children. And then why your children don't serve the Lord later on. Because we eat the pastor for lunch every Sunday. And they hear it. And we're in discord with what's going on in the church. And the kids don't understand why all this bickering and fighting is going on. Because what you say at home, they pick up on. And then they grow up not wanting to trust anybody that's from a man that's calls himself a man of God. Because you never did. You did it in your face when you showed up every Sunday with your three-piece suit, but when you got home and you talked about him, it didn't go anywhere. Come on now. Okay, so we're not so much out of discord. We're just a little bit out of discord. Sorry, it still don't work. Until we perfectly line up with what God is doing, the blessings, the anointing flows from the head down, from Aaron's head down to his beard and even to his garment. And we want God to download a supernatural idea for Grace Community. And here we are, if we're not in unity. And these are kingdom principles. This is what's so important about the kingdom. See, let's just take it into a physical thing. Forget the spiritual. Physical. I've got a cold. And I can stand here and face to face to you, and I can talk to you about healing and health and vitamins and stuff, but I'm going to impart a cold. Ain't I, right? That's just the physical aspect of it. We can talk about all kinds of spiritual things, but if we ain't in unity, let me tell you, everything that's not in unity, everything that's ungodly takes place. We've left an open door for the enemy to come in and download into things into their spirit, and we wonder why we don't grow and we don't go. Come on now.
Come on.
This is good stuff, and that's just about unity.
Yeah.
Mm. On your job. This is your boss. These are the people that work under you. This is your boss with those in charge of them. This is the police department. These are the blessings that you get, the safety. And from the and we don't line up. We don't, you know, we wonder why we don't get the blessings.
Come on.
We wonder why we don't walk in the promised land because we're always fighting and bickering and complaining about.
That's right. That's good.
Come on now, because that's what brings it on.
Like, on.
You know, if we're in discord. See, and the centurion soldier says, look, I can see you're a man under authority. And it's so easy for me to get under you because it's not you that's running my life. It's God. And if he isn't going to do his job, I guarantee you my God's big enough, okay, to remove him.
Come on.
Or to straighten him out is what I want.
Amen.
Amen. But as long as I follow him around and stay in unity, I'm going to get the blessings from God.
Come on, brother.
Come on now. This is good stuff. I remember when I went to church out west of town to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I got saved about six times that Sunday morning. Every time he'd say, okay, who wants to receive? And I thought he was going to say the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I jumped up and they said, we see you. He says, who wants to receive? And then he would say, salvation. And then the usher would say, come on. So I'd walk out to the aisle. I already was saved. But I didn't want to say, no, I don't want that and look like a fool. So I walked out, walked down to the end. They took us out to the room. As soon as I got in the hallway, I ran down, come back in the back of the church. And I figured, okay, now he's going to ask who wants to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I jumped up again. He goes, another call for salvation. Back down I went. I must have got saved about six times. Till finally he says, I said, look, all I want is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So they took me in the back room and they said, they were praying over me. And, you know, and I was young then,
30.
And praise God. And I was 31. I've been saved a year. And they said, okay, well, you know, you just need to calm down and not be scared. And I said, look, I'm not scared. Just pray. I want this. And so they'd pray. And there was another woman who wanted it. She was over here. And some ladies were attending to her. And they'd pray. And I wasn't receiving it because I figured I had to do it. And for whatever reason, they kept saying, look, don't be scared. Don't be scared. Finally, I said, look, buddy, I'm not scared. So first of all, my God, my Jesus ain't going to let nothing bad happen to me because I trust him explicitly. And the other thing is I can whip everybody in the room at the same time. Well, eventually, as I realized, all of a sudden the women moved the other women out and I was just surrounded by men. They figured, okay, we're going to cast some demons out of this guy. I did not receive the Holy Ghost. I did later on, but not that day. Pray. You wonder why. Amen. Now, unity is a kingdom principle.
It is.
Tithing is a kingdom principle. I love it the way Pastor says, let me help you.
Yes.
Isn't that such a great phrase? Yes. When he says that, I melt. It's like I feel like I'm going to have bandages going to be put on me. Someone's going to help me. Someone's going to carry me. Someone's going to encourage me. Someone's going to give me some advice that I can invest in that I will benefit from. Let me. I love it. Let me help you. And then he talks about tithing. That's a kingdom principle.
Yes.
And you know what? There's a scripture. I love this scripture. The gospel is offensive to those who are perishing. And it isn't solely for the unbeliever.
Come on.
Because if you're perishing in your finances and you think you can't tithe because you have to save that money because you're living on a fixed income, every time we talk about tithing, you're offended because you think we want to take your last dollar.
Yeah.
When actually we're trying to get you over that crutch into a blessing, a flow of blessing. And therefore the good news of tithing is offensive to those who are perishing in their finances.
Come on.
That's right. Come on.
Yeah. If you're perishing in your marriage, the pastor, when he says, look, you need to love your wife unconditionally, buddy, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, and we thinking, well, you don't know my wife. And all of a sudden we're offended. You're telling me this and telling me that. That's because you're perishing in your marriage. And guess what? A lot of women need to hear, you need to respect your husband unconditionally.
Come on.
Well, you don't know my husband. You don't know what he does. I don't care. You know Smith Wigglesworth? You know what he told his wife once? He says, if you ever go to church again, I'll lock the door and never let you back in the house. Smith Wigglesworth said this. This is a guy who, when a woman died on the front row of his church, he walked over to her and he said, you won't die in my service. Picked her up and he said, live. And threw her like that and she hit the ground. Picked her back up and said, I'm telling you, you will live. And threw her like that and she stood straight up. Now, this is a godly man. But he locked his wife out of the house. Now, in the morning when he got up, he went to check the weather, opened the door, and there she was leaning on the back porch, leaning against the door, asleep. She fell in. She got up. She says, dear, what would you like for breakfast? Let me tell you, he fell down to his knees. He fell down to his knees and asked her to forgive him right there. And let me tell you what, she says, I'll never do that to you again, sweetheart. And she respected him enough and cooked his breakfast, even though she was locked outside in the cold all night long. In the Lord. Faith always wants me to add, obey your husbands in the Lord. Which?
Yes, dear.
Yes. I told you, I have the last word, right? Yes, dear.
Yes, Lord.
Now I'm going to show you something about the kingdom in the Lord. And Sunday, you thought you had it tough, didn't you? Okay. Glory to God. Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad she doesn't sit on the front.
I'll tell you, that's why she sits back there. I'd make her sit back there. No, I don't. Hallelujah. Bless God. Okay.
It's all good, brother.
It is good. It is good. See, it's all right to laugh and have a good time in the Lord. Amen.
Thank God.
We take it, sometimes we take it too serious. God does have a sense of humor.
Yes, he does.
I mean, look around the room, right? I mean, my God. My God. Talk about a sense of humor. He got me to come back here. I mean, praise God. I mean, I tell you, praise God. Oh, he does. Come on. Come on, I got to finish this here. This is good stuff here. Okay, where am I? Okay. Now watch this. this is awesome. If you follow this, watch this. At the first coming of Christ, the age to come invaded the present age. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to remember, there's no time in God. Okay, he's well ahead of our future. As a matter of fact, do you know when John writes Revelation, he talks about everybody dressed in white? You know who he's looking? He sees this. You know who he's looking at?
Us.
John has already seen you. You could have been on the front row. He's already seen you. And guess what? You look a whole lot better then than you do right now.
I know that's right.
Tell me, is that right?
Yes, sir.
We can all say that. I'm somewhere in the future, and I look a whole lot better than I do right now. I mean, there's a kingdom statement. That's a biblical truth. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Praise God. Okay, at the first coming of Christ, the age to come invaded the present age, so that the two ages now overlap. They overlap each other. And this overlapping lasts from the first coming to the second coming.
Come on, brother.
Okay? He invaded this present age when he came onto the earth, into the world. Okay? And then he left. And he's coming back. So from the time he invaded us to the time he's coming back, that's the dispensation of grace.
Yeah.
That's the now age. Okay? Now watch this. This whole overlapping period is in a sense, the last hour, 1 John 2:18, you can look it up, which is prolonged only through the patience of God, which is 2 Peter 3:9, and that states, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay? So he's waiting, and he's long-suffering, and he's not slack like some, he's coming back. You better believe it. It's not slack in his promise like some people think. He's just long-suffering so that none perish. That's good news.
Yes, it is.
Okay? Now, but until he does come back, we're in this dispensation where the two times overlap. Okay? Now, it marks both the end of the old age and the beginning of the new age.
Hallelujah.
Okay? 1 Corinthians 10:11, Hebrews 9:26. It is therefore possible for the people who live historically in this age, that's us, to belong spiritually to that age.
Come on.
You got a hold of that?
Come on.
These are they who by faith have seen and entered the heavenly kingdom and enjoy already the life of the age to come.
That's right.
You got that right. That's it. I read that, and let me tell you, you know what that, what I'm telling you is that we should be living. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Come on.
And the kingdom of God is in you. And the kingdom of God is nigh you. Then therefore, in this present age, because he invaded us long ago at Calvary, okay, or before then, and died in Calvary and has gone away, until he comes back, we are expected to live in the age that's coming. As if it was already here.
Oh, come on.
This is a biblical truth. Is there any sickness in heaven?
No.
Is there any poverty in heaven?
No. Come on.
I mean, really, you need to look at sickness and disease and poverty. Wait a minute. That don't belong in the kingdom that I live in.
Come on.
That's not what the king has for me. Therefore, it has to go. I have authority over that.
Tell it, brother.
See, this is kingdom living. Now, why am I teaching and preaching these things? Because what we're doing is now, I'm sorry, I hope to step on some toes and I hope it hurts good. We're living below our potential, below who we are, with a lackadaisical attitude, trying to go out and tell somebody about a great king when we're not even experiencing what he told us we can have. And our life is telling us what we're saying out of our mouth is a lie. Because on the job, they hear us complain about Madoff. They hear us complain about this one and that one. Our kids hear it when we're around the house, how things don't fit and it's always me. And why am I the victim? And da-da-da-da-da. And then we wonder why we don't. And we create this whirlwind of unbelief and doubt. And we wonder why we're not walking in the supernatural miracles in what God wants to invade us with.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
And now I'm going to try to teach an evangelistic culture where we're going to go out and win the lost. We're going to go out and win them on some just garbage mentality and gospel that they don't even want. Because like I said, I'm going to be preaching about health and vitamins, but I'm going to impart a cold and a sickness.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it's a spiritual aspect. See, this was a physical demonstration. This is a physical demonstration, but in reality, there's a spiritual one that takes place. Yeah. And you wonder why you're not walking in the power of the Holy Ghost, and even though He's teaching on it, it's because we're not lined up.
Come on.
We're not walking. Good we word. Say with our mouth, we believe this, but our lives tell something different.
Come on.
Have I attained it? No. I repent every day because I'm not walking. When I find myself complaining and arguing, then I realize, oh, God, look at all the blessings. Look where you've taken me. How can I say that, God? Then I try to run around and ask everybody that's ever heard me complain, ask for forgiveness, because that's not the truth.
Come on. Good word.
We should already be enjoying the life of the age to come. Now, if we don't understand, accept, or believe this next part, next week will not be very helpful to any of us. Come on now. And that is that every one of us have already been given a ministry. The ministry of reconciliation.
That's it, brother. Come on.
To reconcile, to make friendly again. See, when you talk to someone who doesn't know God, they have a problem with God. That's all it is. They have a problem with God. And they need to be reconciled. That's being born again. That's why we ask, try to get them to answer the simple question is, if you were to die today, would you know that Jesus would let you into heaven? Would you like to know for sure? It's not a feeling. It's not a job. It's not a program. It's not something you got to do. It's just something you got to believe in your heart and ask Him to come into your life and change you. And you know what? We have this fear that, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't care how you say it. I got saved on Friday night. Saturday, the only thing I could tell somebody was, look, you're going to hell unless you know Jesus Christ. And they laughed at me. But I haven't quit preaching. I got better and better at it.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. This is that simple. I don't know how to do this, but if you'll just bow your head and pray with me. Jesus, come into my life and change me. Amen. You believe that? You're born again.
It works.
It works. If they believe it in their heart that that's what they want, most of them say, oh, it's about time. And they give up and they let God come in the best way they know how.
Yep.
To make friendly again. The military calls it a recon mission. You know what that, for those who have been in the military, a recon mission? Okay. What is a recon mission? That is to go in and take an unfriendly situation and to make it friendly again. And sometimes we need to, someone's being mistreated, we need to go in there and save them and bring them out and put them in a friendly environment. Or we need to go in and take control and take that whole situation that's unfriendly and make it friendly again. Turn to 2 Corinthians. That's simple. That's what it is. Ministry of Reconciliation is taking an unfriendly situation, you have a problem with God, and making it friendly again.
Yep.
Now you don't have a problem with God. And all those other things you will let God take care of. The smoking and the drinking and the running around and the chewing and hanging around with those that do. We'll just let God take care of those.
Amen, bro.
Okay? And I'll tell you, well, I really don't want to smoke. Well, then let's pray that you don't smoke. But smoking ain't going to get you into heaven or keep you out of heaven.
Come on.
And if he was to come right now, you're going with me.
Come on.
Praise God. What did I say to go? 2 Corinthians?
Yes, you did.
I got the manuscripts. This is straight from the throne. And what I'm going to do is, because we're running out of time, I'm only going to read the scriptures, and then next week I'm going to share a little bit on this, and then we're going to get into the how, okay? So I'm not going to belabor it. Did I say that right, sweetheart? We have this little microphone in here in my ear. She tells me everything to say. 2 Corinthians 5. And it's actually 5:11 through 6:2. And actually there's... So it says this. Since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. Then he goes on to say, what we are plain to God, and I hope is also plain to your conscience, we are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for your sake, for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. Do you know that any believer, chances are anybody in a local church, you could go to them and they'd say, yeah, I believe that one died and therefore all can live. They believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They believe that. If you ask any churchgoer, they believe that. But if they believed it so much, if you ask them how many people they've won to the Lord, if that's true, how come they don't live that? How come they don't tell anybody that? So they believe with their mind, mental assent, but not in their heart. On paper, we can agree with everything this church is going on and what it's doing. On paper, we can do that.
Yeah.
We've read it. We've heard enough sermons to prove it. But then when we go out that door,
come on.
Do we live those doctrines as if they're really real?
Come on.
That's why I say we don't weep enough. We don't cry over the lost souls, the ones that live in your neighborhood, that drive on the same streets that your kids play with, that they're going to hell, that they are, in fact, an object of wrath. They are an object that God, in His godness, His justice, because of His justice, He's going to pour His wrath out on every object of sin. Meditate on that. Well, I tell you, it makes me want to know, are you born again? Are you born again? Are you born again? Are you born again? I tell them on the job. Well, we'll get that in next week. I tell them on the job, man. I tell them, boy, you're going to hell. And they look at me. I said, from the way you're talking and acting, man, you don't know God at all. Oh, I know God. Or why should I want to know God? I said, because He'll save you, man. He's got a life for you. I come around and tell them. But that attitude don't cut it. Not around me. You're going to have to change or go.
Come on.
I call one guy a liar. I said, you're a liar. Say you read the Bible. I said, you're a liar. Everybody in the room, about 20 of them, just quieted right down. And I felt, oh, God, I'm in trouble now. They all like this kid. And he left. The kid left the room. And everybody got quiet. And we're all eating our lunch. I'm talking about eating a bologna sandwich, sitting down on the ground, all dirty, in construction. Okay, and everybody left the room. And I'm eating my sandwich. And I got to get out of here. These guys are going to kill me. 2 minutes later, he walks back in the door, walks all the way across the room. He walks up to me. He says, you're right. I have not read the Bible. I stood up and hugged him right where he stood. I hugged him right in front of everybody. I said, God loves an honest man, buddy. You're well on your way to the things God has for you if you can do that. There's not a man in this room to do what you just did, young man. I can give just as much praise as I can give the other thing, too. Then we were all talking and happy again. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in that way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All this from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation.
Yes.
Oh, except you. Oh, except you. Your Bible doesn't include you. It just includes everybody else. You've got a manual that everybody else should live by, and you should just reap the benefits. No, this is a ministry of reconciliation that He gave us. And if you were the only one on earth who needed salvation, Jesus would have come down and died just for you.
Yeah.
So that us is you.
Yes.
You've been given the ministry of, don't ever say, I don't have a ministry. You do. It's a ministry of reconciliation. It's just as clear as can be right there. And that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ. Wait a minute. He reconciled us to Himself. And then God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Praise God. You've been given a ministry. Amen?
Yes, brother.
I'm done, buddy.
Boy, you are.
Wasn't that good? Man, oh man, oh man. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. I tell you what. I love it. Amen.